Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. We're going to teach here at our Ruling and Reigning in Christ Fridays. We're going to be preaching on the book of Acts 10, 11, and maybe a little bit of 12, but we're going to do it really fast, so get ready, because I want us to look at two things in this that's kind of cool. It's a new move of God that gets started in this, and how powerful evangelism can be. And how many know our nation needs evangelists right now? Amen? America needs real evangelism with real power, real authority, and understanding the gospel right now. We need to reach our nation. You guys need to reach the college campuses. You need to reach wherever you're employed. We need to reach our neighbors. We really need to reach. So let's go to Acts 10:1. A certain man, Cornelius by name, a centurion of a cohort being called Italian, and it was, this guy is Italian, a devout and fearing God with all his house, both doing many alms to the people and praying continually to God. Here is an unbelieving man who is seeking God. Here's an unbelieving man who is praying and giving offerings and everything he can to try to please God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw plainly in a vision. Isn't this cool? Now, this is an unbelieving man that God supernaturally moves because he is moved by the heart of this man. This man is a giver. This man is praying continually. He's really trying to find God, and he doesn't know God, okay? And this is pretty cool. So about the ninth hour of the day, he saw plainly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he was staring at him and becoming terrified. So let's remember, when we really see the angel of the Lord or we see an angel, there's going to be some measure of, oh my goodness, what is this? You know, this is powerful. Now, when I'm reading the book of Acts right now, I'm doing a study in the book of Acts right now, there is so much powerful, supernatural, divine things of God happening. How many know we need that back in the church? And how many know we need that in our lives? Amen? So when you see this man who doesn't even know God, who is giving and praying, how many here are givers? How many pray? If this unbeliever can be praying and giving and have a divine visitation, a vision with an angel in it, how many think we ought to? Amen? So start believing for it. Lord, I'm believing for these kinds of visions. And so on the ninth hour of the day, he saw plainly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he was staring at him and becoming terrified. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms went up for a memorial before God. So know this, when you give and when you pray, it goes up before God. Amen? And even as a child, I know I prayed before I even knew who God was. And God knows all of those things. God keeps track of all this. And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is surnamed Peter, the one who's lodged with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So here's this angel in this vision giving direction and instruction to Cornelius, what he has to do. How cool is God? How many know this is really powerful evangelism? Amen. This is God answering prayers with visions, but you're going to see he uses human beings. So I want to begin to be a person to say, I want to be one of those people you can use, God. I want to be one of those people that will hear you and obey you when it doesn't make any sense. Amen. I want to be one of those people who have ears to hear what you want to say in the Spirit. Don't you know God would be doing this today if he would have people who would be listening? Amen. I want to have ears to hear what God is saying. That's what tonight is really about, how to share the gospel, how to share our message, and how to hear God with this. So here he's telling this unbelieving guy in a vision, this is what you have to do. And when the angel speaking to Cornelius went away, the man called two of his servants, a devout soldier of those who continually wait on him, and having explained all things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now think about this a minute. This is a guy with pretty much money. He has servants, okay? And he is so excited about a vision from God and a visitation from God that he is actually telling his servants by detail what has to be done. What does this show us about visions and dreams? There takes a response to obey. There takes a what if he thought, oh, that I must have just ate something funny, or God couldn't have really meant that, or this is ridiculous, or I can't tell anybody this. They're going to think I'm crazy. If any of those things happened, he wouldn't be in the Bible. Amen? We wouldn't hear about his entire family being saved. And so we want to be those people who expect God to answer our prayers. Amen? And we want to be those people who make a determination, we're going to obey him. If I get a vision, if I get a dream, if God speaks something to me, if prophetically something's spoken over me, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, I am going to jump right in it and obey and not care what people say. Just not care what people say. Amen? This guy had to look nuts. Amen. Welcome to Christianity 101. You're going to look nuts. Because we have a relationship with a God who is invisible. Amen. Not only do we have a relationship with a God who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is invisible, we actually have his Spirit living inside of us, revealing his Son to us, who reveals the Father to us. This is the reality of true Christianity. It is a wild ride. Amen? It's just a wild ride. Thank God for the wild ride. It's so fun. All right. Having explained all things to them, he sent them to Joppa, and on the next day, those passing along the road and drawing near to the city, Peter went up on a roof. So while they're on their way there, okay, Peter goes up on the roof to pray about the 6th hour. So what do we see about being able to hear God to answer people's prayers? We have to be people of prayer. We have to be people of prayer. Now, I like this because I like to pray outside on my patio or on my deck. So if Peter can go up on his roof, I can go outside on my deck and I can pray on my patio. And so we need to break religious tradition that we only pray in our rooms, on our knees, in the morning, and at night before we go to bed. Amen? We need to live a life of prayer. Peter's living a life of prayer. He goes out on his roof and feels led to pray. He becomes hungry. Now that sounds like what happens, doesn't it, when we're praying, right? We get distracted, right? We get hungry or sleepy, right? It's like, or we get hungry first, we eat, and then we come back, we try to pray, we get sleepy. But anyway, so he gets hungry. I love how detailed the Bible is and how real it makes the people and what's happening. He became hungry and wished to taste food. So he's sitting there thinking, oh, I'm really hungry. I could see how hungry, you know, oh, that would taste so good. I was thinking about the steaks I cut up last night to make shish kebab. But as they were preparing, an ecstasy fell on him. An ecstasy is like a supernatural trance. It's like where you're kind of there, but you're not, and you're really experiencing God. How many recognize, wow, we saw a guy who had a vision and saw angels, and now we see Peter having an ecstasy or a trance or an encounter with God. How many recognize this as true Christianity? How many are getting hungry to start living out more true Christianity? Amen? Not so I can have a big ministry, not so I can market it, not so I can use it to promote anything. Amen? But because it is a reality of something that belongs to us as believers, period. Amen? Amen? And so, Lord, I just want everything these people have. Amen? But remember, they got their heads chopped off and got hung on crosses. But anyhow. But as we were preparing, an ecstasy fell on him, and he saw the heaven. Okay, so he's having this open vision thing. Okay, the other guy had a vision, a dream kind of more thing. This guy's in an ecstasy. He's having this open kind of vision. He sees the heavens open, and a certain vessel, like a great sheet, come down on him, being bound by four corners, and let down on the earth, in which were all the four-footed animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the creeping things, and the birds of the heaven. And a voice came to him and says, "Rise up, Peter, slay and eat." Now, he's a good Jewish boy, and he doesn't eat a lot of that stuff. But Peter said, "Not at all, Lord, because I never did eat anything common or unclean." And again, a voice came to him a second time, "What things God has made clean, you do not make common." Okay, that just takes care of anybody who thinks they have to eat kosher. I'm just being honest. New covenant, there is a revelation by God in the book of Acts to say that we don't have to eat kosher. I'm not saying eating kosher is not healthy, and so I'm okay with if you want to eat kosher, but God himself is saying here, quit making it about if it's clean or unclean. Amen? All right. So, and I love this because Peter is in an ecstasy, having an encounter, supernatural encounter, seeing this stuff for real in a powerful way, and he still is kind of arguing with God. How human are these people? Amen? So don't feel so wrong when God's kind of putting something on your heart and you're kind of questioning it. You see it over and over in Scripture, which number one shows us our God is awesome. He really is a father. He is not a control freak. He is not a tyrant who's going to make us do things. He actually listens to us and communicates with us even when we're really very full of unbelief after he's doing these supernatural things. A voice came to him, "Rise up, Peter, eat, slay and eat." But Peter said, "Not at all, Lord, because I never did anything common or unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What things God has made clean, you do not make common." And this happened three times. A lot of things in Scripture happen three times. And the vessel was taken up into the heavens again. As Peter was doubting within himself what the vision might be. Okay, so there's a need for an interpretation on this. Amen? Isn't it cool that he was hungry and just thinking about food, and then God uses food in this vision to show him something, which is amazing. And so we're not going to get into all this tonight, but some Friday nights it'd be nice to get into this, how to interpret dreams and how to interpret visions, because things are so symbolic. And so we will have some of those, maybe even have a conference sometime this summer or fall, and on a Saturday, a seminar, and really start teaching how to interpret this. But Peter is wondering within himself, what on earth was that? Even as he did this, the men who had been sent from Cornelius stood on the porch asking about the house of Simon. Look at the timing. He just has this thing happening. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And these guys, these Gentiles, who would be considered unclean by the Jews, are standing at the door. Now look at that. God's doing two things. He's showing you, you know, you can eat this stuff now, but he's also showing, he used something that Peter would recognize really quickly was unclean. And then he's about to demonstrate it was about something totally different, okay? And we're not going to get, but doesn't that tell us a lot about God? It's not this real simple thing to figure out what he's trying to say, amen? There's always a walking it out and walking it through, and it doesn't always have to do with exactly what you're thinking. So here's Peter. I love this because Peter's powerful, right? You know, Peter's shadow is healing people. Maybe it hasn't said that yet in Scriptures, but it'll get there as we get into the book of Acts. And so Peter is, ever since he knew that he was forgiven by God and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he is really bold. Amen? He is really bold. So it's really cool when you see these really powerful, no question about it, apostles, amen, who are wondering about things and questioning things and acting like us. Amen? I just love that. I just love that about God revealing that in the Word. So he's wondering what's going on, and behold, there are these heathen people at the porch of his door. And calling out, they inquired if Simon, who was Peter, was there. And as Peter pondered concerning the vision, the Spirit said to him, now I love this, the Holy Spirit will interpret his visions, amen? Amen? So, because he can interpret it different ways, and he can interpret it through someone else, through the gift of interpretation, it's a gift, or he can reveal to you when you do what? Don't think, oh, I just ate too much pizza, that didn't happen, I'm too hungry, I don't want to worry about that. But you actually take the time to say, God, what is going on? What was that? I don't get, what are we doing? And so how many want this kind of powerful supernatural life where you're hanging out with God and talking to God and having divine visitations from God and visions from God and asking God to show you what on earth is going on? Amen? And so that is the normal Christian life. If you want to see what we're supposed to look like, and then we should be on steroids with it because it's 2,000 years later, go read the book of Acts and recognize that is the beginning of what it looked like. And how many know we are not yet ready for the return of Christ because we haven't even gotten back to the book of Acts? Amen? How many want to see that change and start with them? Amen? God, I just want this something real here. Okay, so behold, three men, okay, where was it at? We just stood, okay. And Peter pondered concerning the vision, and the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. But rising up, go down and go with them. Do not discriminate because I have sent them. So what the Spirit is saying, I know you would discriminate and say, God couldn't have done this. He would not bring these people into my house. Okay? So you're watching God break through tradition and break through what the old covenant did require that's changed in the new covenant. Amen? There's a change. And God is revealing that by a vision and his Spirit, or an ecstasy and his Spirit to Peter. Amen? How exciting is that? Amen? This is exciting, the stuff that God wants to keep doing and wants to keep revealing. All right. So, don't you love the Holy Spirit talking to you too? Don't discriminate. Like he's like, come on, Peter, don't discriminate. I know that's how it used to be. I know under the old covenant, I know you Jews think you got this all together, but just listen to me, okay? Don't discriminate. So he's going, I just saw these unclean things, said to eat them, said to slay them, no, said to eat them. And then here is Holy Spirit telling me, go down there and don't discriminate. What is going on? Okay, this is normal Christianity, people. If you got to have everything spelled out and you think you can figure it out, you are not walking in the real deal. You're walking in an intellectual conjuring up of spiritual things. Ooh. Sock it to most of the church. Anyhow. So this is how it is. We don't know anything. Amen? And we learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it's usually not what we're thinking. And then he shows us it's different than we were thinking. And then he's doing this and he's doing that. And God is always, always keeping us on our toes. Amen? So he says, don't discriminate because I've sent them. And going down to the men, the one sent from Cornelius to him, Peter said, behold, I am the one whom you seek. What is the cause for why you're here? Now, everybody knows Peter would have said something different had he just not had an encounter. Amen? So thank God for encounters. Listen to God when he shows you something. Listen to God when he's changing your mindset. Listen to God when he's setting something up that he normally would not be normal for you to have set up. Like maybe Greg running for office, you know. Just know God is up to something. Amen? All right. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one fearing God, being testified to all by the nation of the Jews, was divinely warned by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear words from you. I love the way that's worded. He was divinely warned or instructed by a holy angel to call to your house and to hear words from you. Then calling them in, so Peter's like, oh, I had that dream. I had that vision. I talked to all you. Come on in. He's thinking, oh, this has never happened. Come on in. Let's see. Then calling them, he lodged. He let them spend the night, people. He let them spend the night in his house. And in the morning, Peter went out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. So he prayed to call, hey, could I have some backup? I mean, God has me going to some strange place with some strange heathens. And I don't get this. I had this vision. Yeah, no, really, I had this vision. No, really, this trance thing kind of happened. And no, I know the Spirit told me this. I know it doesn't make sense. Would you just come? How many want friends like that you could call like that and they're like, okay. If you don't have some friends like that, you need to get some friends like that. Amen? You need to start having adventures together with people who love God. Amen? And enjoy this entire wild ride. Amen? I think of all the things over the years that I've walked in and seen and experienced, and it's always this fun adventure. And my heart is that especially those who are hungry enough to come on Friday nights are going to be like, you know what? I'm going to get into these adventures. This is right in normal life with normal life. There's going to be no such thing as normal life. Amen? There's going to be this life full of divine intervention by God, and I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to walk it out, and I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? So he gets people to come with him. I love that. And on the morning, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was awaiting them, having called together his relatives and his intimate friends. Wow. He's like, okay. You talk about two people calling people in and not having a clue what's going to happen. Here's Cornelius. I don't know anything about this Peter guy, but he's going to tell us how to know God. Can you just see the family? Okay, yeah, okay, right. Yeah, I'll try to be there. and his close friends. No, no, you've got to come, you've got to come. Obviously, this guy had a lot of influence and a lot of people who respected him, and they showed up. And as Peter was coming and meeting him, he fell at his feet and worshiped. I mean, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped. I love this. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am a man." Okay, this shows us a few things. It shows us that Cornelius had no idea what God was about to reveal. Amen? And that he was so hungry for God that truthfully, if the enemy had sent the wrong thing in, he maybe would have gone for it. But look at God. Look at the faithfulness of God. He really wanted God, so God was going to make sure he really got God. And then Peter walks in, not like, aren't I... I'm the apostle. I hung out with Jesus. Walked on water. Okay, fell. Okay, well, the guy's only, yeah, but you sunk. Shut up, you guys. You don't have to tell him all that, you know. But he's like walking in and they're falling down, worship, you know, like, oh, man of God, you know, get up. I'm just like you. I'm a person here. Get up. Don't do this. Let's keep that attitude. Let's keep that attitude. Amen. Nathaniel, I tell you, we go to the Philippines. What do? Every time you come up, they take your hand and it's an honor thing and they put it on their heads. So I turn back around and put their hands on my head. They put them, they're like, oh. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to honor, you know, if you honor me, I'm going to honor you. I have no idea for sure what I'm doing. But I notice that they only do it for like Nilo or me or people who are considered prophets or spiritual leaders or something. I don't know what we are for sure. And so they take my hand and they do this. And then I take their hand and do this. And they look so funny. And that was really my way of doing what Peter was doing here. It was my way of saying, look, we're just the same. We're just the same. And let me just tell you something. Even when you're going to witness, even when you're going to share, if you don't have that knowing in your heart, something's wrong. I mean, something's wrong with your heart. Satan wants to puff us up. Satan wants us to get into pride like he did and fall. Amen? And we can't have a fake humility. You know, real humility is a real revelation that I am just like everybody else, but for the grace of God, who knows what my life would be like? And God alone deserves all the glory. Without God, nothing can happen. And truthfully, pride is a puffed upness where we really start taking God out of the equation and just think of all the experiences and the gifts and the talents, and we start to think about ourselves. Amen? And so the real revelation is this humility. And Peter's like, oh, don't worship and fall at my feet. He lifts him up, say, stand up, I'm a man. He doesn't say, oh yes, stand up. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am definitely a son of God. I am, you know, I am his beloved, you know. Now, maybe if John was there, he'd say something different, but I'm just kidding. I am the one that God loves, but, you know. But you love personalities. But I just want you to see this because these are real apostles, amen? These are real apostles revealing the real heart of a real apostle, which is so broken and humble before God. And we need to make sure, because it's easy when there is no fame, it's easy when no one's trying to say, yay, aren't you something, to think what you would do. It's another thing when you start getting that temptation, so we don't judge anyone else. At the same time, if we hang out with God and we really stay real with God, we're going to really know we're not all that. Amen. We're really going to know he's the one who is amazing. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who deserves all the glory. And anything in us that has any value, it's because he put it there. Amen. And he is awesome. I'm not like trying to put us down as human beings. He chose to make us in his image and his likeness. But the deal is he chose. He chose. Amen. He's the creator. He did all this. He's so cool. All right. And talking with them, he went in and found many others coming together. So he walks in, he starts sharing right away the gospel, and he recognizes there's a room full, okay? And he says, now listen, you know how unlawful it is for a man, a Jew, like me, to unite with or to come near anyone of another race. Now, I personally like this because Peter's being real. Peter is trying to let them know, first of all, this is awkward for him. Amen? But he's also being real with them. And he wants them to see that God is really up to something. So he says, it's unlawful for me, a Jew, to unite with or to come near to another race. Yet God showed me not to call a man common or unclean. He's basically saying, wow, God is doing something so powerful that up until this revelation from God to come and meet with you, I couldn't even been in the same room with you. And this is so new, even to the gospel. This is so different. This is, wow. And I just want to say how awesome that we don't get stuck in a mindset, amen, that God doesn't keep expanding us to love more, expanding us to understand more, expanding us to walk out, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, strength, but love others as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So God is just saying, look, Peter, you're going to have to see your neighbor as more than who you saw your neighbor before. Amen? And so I love this because Peter's just being so real. I love how real Peter's being. This is a real apostle, okay? This is a real apostle. And he's just sitting there chatting with these guys like, y'all don't get it. Man, y'all know I'm a Jew. I shouldn't even be in the house with you. I don't even know what God is doing. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. And I don't believe at all he said it in a way of arrogance. I believe he said it in a way of, I can't believe what God's doing. Amen. He said it in a way of fascination. I can't believe what God's doing and why is he doing this? But I'm telling you what he's doing. He says, so therefore I came without complaint being summoned. He goes, look, there's no way. If it wasn't for God revealing to me that this was him, that he wanted me to come and talk to you, there's no way I'd be here. And I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I'm just in awe. I'm just amazed. What is God up to? That's the kind of life we should live in God. Amen. We should live in excitement and amazement and in awe with God and what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Then I asked, for what reason did you send me? So he said, okay, now could y'all tell me why it is that God brought me here? And Cornelius said, from the fourth day until this hour, I've been fasting. In the ninth hour, I was praying in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So he literally... he may have saw the Lord. It may not have just been an angel. When you see an angel of the Lord, sometimes it is the Lord. And so I'm not sure with this which one it was. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer was heard and your alms were remembered before God. Okay, unbelievers' prayers are heard. How much more are ours? And can we just get this revelation? God likes giving. So I just want you, if you've given to anything that God has put on your heart to give to, whether it's to missions trips or whether it's to, our outreaches or whatever, even to just being in this church and you felt led to give more than your tithe, God honors giving. I had somebody I was speaking to who was having a lot of financial problems. I didn't get into their personal life to see if they tithe or whatever, but I just said to them, if you came to our church and you feel I have a spirit of influence in your life, and I'm not asking anything personal, don't even tell me, but the first thing I would ask anyone with financial problems are, do you tithe and do you give offerings above the tithe? Because that's where you start. That's where you start to stop the devourer from taking your finances. That's where you start, amen? And I can tell you, I'm looking around this room, there's some people here who should be out on the street with nothing with some of the mess they've gotten into, but because they've always tithed and always give, God turned what was meant for evil to destroy them around and actually gave them a blessing with it. Amen? He's so faithful. He is so faithful. I had someone mention, well, why would you... why would you have people come to your church guest and enough offering doesn't come in to cover what they think they should take and the amount for paying for them to come and all? And kind of tried to rebuke me for inviting people in that the offering's not going to cover. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, if I want to take finances from another part of ministry to bless the people who are here to have guests come in and at the same time bless the guests, that doesn't put me out of God's will. Amen? I mean, God will let you do what he wants, whatever he wants you to do. God has no trouble saying, take this money from here, in the ministry, and bring somebody in who normally wouldn't come to a place for this amount and let them be a blessing. And you pour into their lives and they'll pour into the people's lives and see what God does with it. And so I'm just saying, we've got to quit trying to figure out how God's going to do things. Amen. And judging everything. All right. But your prayers and your giving go before God. So next time you feel led to give, I know your prayers do, But I want us to get this. This is in the book of Acts, amen? This is in the book of Acts. And God is really making this strong. Your giving offering goes before God. Isn't that awesome? Kind of makes me want to give more. I'm going to have to work on that. All right. Therefore, send to Joppa and call for Simon, who is surnamed Peter. Now remember, Cornelius telling him, this one is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. Having come, he will speak to you. Then at once I sent to you, and you did well to come. Now then, we are all present before God to hear all the things having been commanded you by God. This man is so God-fearing, isn't he? He goes, all I know is this. I'm glad you came. You're listening to God. That proves you're listening to God. Now we're all ears. Tell us about this God. And opening his mouth, Peter said, truly I see that God is not a respecter of faces. Look at Peter. He's still blown away. This guy's like, yes, this happened and that happened and our family's here and we've been giving and there's prayers. And so what do you have to say? I can't believe it. God doesn't care that I'm talking to heathens and Gentiles. I'm amazed. Or Italians. Italian Gentiles. He's like, Peter, I love it. I love how awesome our God is, and we should be having adventures right now. It should not become this day in, day out, mechanical kind of thing, and we call it testifying or witnessing or being obedient to God. It needs to be this overwhelming, oh my gosh, can you believe that? Oh my gosh, can you believe that? You got to be kidding me. This is awesome. Who knew we were going to do that? Amen? That should be our life. I shouldn't have to go through third world nations just to experience that. Amen? You should not have to go to third world nations, although if God sends you, then let's go. We should be experiencing that everywhere we go, every day, but we need some expectation. Cornelius had expectation. Amen? Cornelius had expectation because he had prayed and given and God was speaking to him. He had an expectation that this guy, Peter, is going to show up. This Simon guy is going to show up and show him how to get to God. They're like expecting this. So I believe as we're talking about evangelism tonight, we need to begin to pray and come in agreement with the intercessions of Jesus that the lost will be saved. And we need to begin to ask God to do those things in dreams and in visions to set people up to receive what he wants us to share. Not that we tell God to do that, but we come in agreement with what we see he does. Amen? We come in agreement with what God loves it when we know his word. God loves it when we know his word and we begin to put his word before him and we begin to say, you know what? This was really, 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 really cool what you did with Cornelius. So I would love to be involved with that kind of evangelism. Don't y'all know God would be going, yes, yes, you read it. You didn't just skim past it to see what places on the map you could put a thumbtack that Paul went. Because that's how I've always seen people preach Acts. Amen? But it's like, wow, that was worth taking some time over. You got two things happening here. You have Peter becoming a new move of God, is what we would call it. You got Peter sitting there baffled and amazed. Oh my gosh, God is sending me to non-Jews. God is sending me to non-Jews. This goes against everything I've brought up believing. This goes against the whole covenant. What is everybody going to say? I am in the house of Gentiles. I am in the house of unclean. I know they're not unclean. God, you told me they weren't unclean, but here I am, and all they're talking about is, and you supernaturally showed them all this, and now they want to hear from me, and I'm like, I can't believe God would send me. He's not a respecter of faces. And so let me just say this. Don't get so bent when you look at history and there was racism in our nation. Get more excited about a God who knows how to break that down, and it should start in the church. Amen? Amen? We need to get more excited about how God wants to break things down than what the enemy had. Or what God even allowed for seasons. We get more excited about how it's breaking down because of who God is. And don't let the devil get in there and break it down in a way that takes God out of it. Amen? And recognize, this is really cool. So here's Peter. He's still amazed because you got to realize these guys had never seen, let's be real. from God is shaking things up. When he came back, you know, out of the grave, he sends a woman to go tell the brothers. That ticks everybody off. Whoops, there's something new. God is letting women give messages to the brothers. That's important, directly from Jesus. That messes with tradition. And now here we are, a few chapters later, I don't know how many years later, and here's Peter going, oh my, I can't believe this. We are now going to preach the gospel to Gentiles. We're going to preach the gospel to non-Jews. No, I'm kidding. If they had cell phones, I'd preach the gospel to non-Jews. I can't believe I'm preaching the gospel to non-Jews. I love it. They're sitting there like, what's he going to say about God? What's he going to say about God? I can't believe God has me here. He's not a respecter of faces. But in every nation, the one fearing him and working righteousness is acceptable to him. What is Peter doing? Peter is not preaching what Peter normally preaches. Peter is preaching the revelation he's getting right then and there. You want to be a powerful witness? Get your revelation right then and there when you're witnessing something fresh from God, something like what I'm doing right now for me. And it'll have authority. It will have power. It will have anointing. It will not be dry news. Amen? We need to want the presence of God on the words we speak. We need to want life on the things we speak. We need to get out of the mentality of how I'm going to say it, when I'm going to say it, blah, 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 blah. And we need to get life put back into everything we speak and do. And how do you do that? By hanging out with God. I love this. I love this awestruckness of Peter. That's how I want my life. And I've had a lot of that. What? We're doing what? How we do? Huh? What? Amen? But my heart is that people will start filling this place up on Friday night, and that's their heart's desire. That's their heart's desire. You know, whatever you're going through, Lord, show me how. Show me what. Get rid of my pre-planned idea. What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? You know why we're doing it. You know what we're doing. I don't have to try to figure it out. I need to be excited about what God's doing. Amen? But in every nation, the one fearing him and working righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, this one is Lord of all. And now he starts to share to them, it's about Jesus. Jesus, the one from Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those having been oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They did away with him, hanging him on a tree. And God raised up this one the third day and gave him to become visible. Not to all the people, but to witnesses, the ones having been before handpicked by God, to us who ate and drank with him after his rising again from the dead. And he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness solemnly that it is he who has been marked out by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets witness, so that through his name, everyone believing into him will receive the remission of sins. As Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, listen to this. Oh, as Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those hearing the word. Whew. How many know we need to cry out to God, to hang out with Jesus, to be so obedient and so out of our minds in the sense of everything being so intellectual and here's how we do it and here's the book and I brought and begin to live the adventure. Amen? Begin to live this adventure and say, God. And here's the part where I've even missed it when we get in a little bit doing our testimonies. Sometimes I try to share everything or sometimes I don't know when to stop. Amen? And so I need to learn even more to be more sensitive. They heard enough. According to the Holy Spirit, they just heard about Jesus Christ. Well, most of us, and he did a very quick summary of who Jesus was and how he died. He didn't go into all the stuff we think we have to go into the very first time we talk to somebody. Amen? Because Holy Spirit was there. What really won these people? What really won these people, number one, is they were hungry and asking and seeking after God. Amen? They were already seeking after God. They were already hungry for God, right? So what did that mean? It meant Peter wasn't going to be planting a seed. It means Peter was going to be reaping because these people were already ready. Amen? And so what did it take? It didn't take a line by line, I learned in Evangelism 101 of what I have to say, and they have to do an altar call, and they got to sign a little card, and blah, 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 and then we pray together this nice little prayer, and they're saved. That's not what happened, is it? What happened is, they're in awe because God divinely, supernaturally set this up. Peter is not only in awe, he's almost like he's like, oh my gosh, this is, heathens. You're going to save heathens now? You're going to save me? Oh my gosh, you're not respecting your faces. Oh my goodness, what are we doing? I love it. Peter is so out of his comfort zone in amazement that God's doing something so great, so different, so outside of his framework. How about us get like that? Self-righteousness would not have seen these people saved. But carnal, intellectual evangelism would have not released the power of God to seal the deal. So when God is going to move and have you speak to people who normally you wouldn't even think God would speak to, you're going to want to be sensitive to when the Holy Spirit's going to fall on them. Because he can fall on a whole group of people who are struggling with their sexual identity. Oh! And he can fall on them, and you don't have to say a word to them about their issues. God can set things up if you begin to pray and intercede and believe and fall on them and set them free where no one can say. Let me give you a cool example of this for me, not that particular example, but I was substitute teaching, and I was substitute teaching at a Christian school, but it was a Christian school where the teachers were believers, but a lot of the students weren't. And I didn't know this. I was substituting. I was like substituting for like 2 months for a teacher who was out for something. And it's the only time I ever substituted. And so I went in there, and we were watching. I decided to show a Benny Hinn crusade from Africa because we were studying Africa. So I put Benny Hinn on the television, you know, the television in the room, and the Holy Spirit fell. And the kids start screaming out the name of Jesus, falling on the floor, shaking everything. These are kids from all different backgrounds. And I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness. And the Lord's like, you didn't start it, don't stop it. So I'm just kind of sitting there watching these kids crying out to Jesus. So, and God just came. These kids, honestly, would follow me after that at recess. They just wanted me to read the Bible. They just wanted me to tell them more stories about Jesus. Everywhere I went, these kids were going after God. One girl who would come in to tell me that her grandfather said I was going to hell because I was a woman preacher, and she would remind me this most mornings, the Holy Spirit hit her, and she was in the bathroom jumping up and down screaming, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Part of God was all over her. Well, we were upstairs at the school. Everybody else was on field trip, but I guess because maybe their teacher wasn't there, we didn't go on the field trip. So we were the only ones upstairs when the Spirit of God hit. So everywhere I went. So I didn't tell everybody the whole gospel or how it works. I didn't have to do anything except turn on the TV and Benny Hinn, whatever he was saying, showing what was happening in Africa, and God just fell. How many are ready for that kind of evangelism? How many are ready for that? You can't conjure it up. You really won't even know it's about to happen. Amen? You've got to quit being intellectually thinking, I'm going to do this thing. But you've got to be sensitive to Holy Spirit, in love with Jesus Christ, prepared to preach the gospel any and at all times, and looking for what God is doing. Amen? And then knowing when to back off. Now, I only backed off on those kids because I thought, oh, I'm going to be in big trouble. And I did get called into the principal's office. And the principal was like, Cindy, but he was a believer. He goes, okay, just tell me, did you touch anybody? I promise, I didn't touch anybody. I didn't lay hands on anybody. I didn't pray for anybody. Oh, good, good. Then this is fine. If something like this happens, this is a Christian school, and we don't stop what God is doing, just don't lay hands on them. I'm like, okay, I won't lay hands on them. But I had parents come and tell me years later, when my son was in your class and you were subbing, whatever happened between God and my son, he is now in missions work, and he never was the same after that. I want to thank you. And I had people asking me, what did you do? My child's changed so much. I didn't say, okay, everybody, instead of recess, let's read the Bible. I actually wanted a break, you know, I forgot what age kids they were. It was probably about fourth or fifth grade. Being with fourth graders, all day and it's break time, you know, recess, like, go do something. They're all sitting there. Can you tell us more? Can you read more? Can I'm like, oh, y'all know me, I could. So I was like, it was amazing. It was amazing. And that's, you know, oh, I'm so excited about what God's doing tonight. Amen. You can feel it in the spirit. Catch this, amen. Catch this in your spirit. I'm going to live that. I'm not going to go back to intellectually. Here's the big thing. Don't separate your life. Don't separate out your life. Amen. And let me just say, don't hyper-spiritual. If you've got sin problems, or you've got medication problems of mental stuff, I'm not trying to make you hyper-spiritual. I want you to get free. You need to be living a holy, powerful life before God's going to fall on you like this for the most part. Amen? Amen? Too many people want to skip the sanctification. They want to skip God dealing with the heart issues. Peter didn't skip any of that, right? Peter didn't skip any of that. Paul didn't skip any of that. Stephen didn't skip any of that. Anybody that you find in Scripture that God is using powerfully, amen, were people sold out to God. So I'm not saying if the devil torments you with that, then you are too tormented to do much yet. Get rid of the torment and go to the throne of God and get rid of that thing. Amen? Get rid of the devil. He can't be talking to you. Amen? Shut him up in Jesus' name. My prayer tonight is you get so hungry to have power evangelism and this real walk with God and a powerful thing that you will want more of what God has for you than what the enemy's given you. Amen? I mean, because there's too many people out there trying to witness, but their life doesn't line up, and that's just a bunch of talk. Amen? Now, I'm not saying people are different places, so don't let the devil talk to you if God's doing this for somebody else or somebody who's watching. We are going to kick hyper-spirituality out the door. Amen? You know, hyper-spirituality is really mental illness, what the world would call it, and it's really mean demonization, but the person's using spiritual things to try to feel better about themselves. Amen? I don't feel better about myself because of spiritual things. I don't need to feel better about myself because I love Jesus. Amen? And I know he loves me, and I agree with him, and I hate what he hates. Amen? And that's the place, Lord. And my prayer is if you're in that in-between place of struggling with torment or sin or anything like that, that this would cause you to get more hungry to be hanging out with God than giving in to the enemy ever again. More hungry to deal with the issues that you have to deal with so you can have a real breakthrough. Amen? And he commanded us to proclaim to the people, Acts 10:4, and to witness solemnly that it is he who has been marked out by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets witness, so that through his name, everyone believing into him will receive the remission of sins. As Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those hearing the word. And the faithful of the circumcision were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the nations also. There is something to the baptism of the Holy Spirit that people can see. One of the reasons we don't have power evangelism, one of the reasons we don't have this kind of life flowing in what we're sharing and doing, one of those reasons is because we have not recognized that there's true baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit really baptizes someone, you're not going to not know it. And I think as a church, we need to repent for intellectually trying to get people baptized and thinking if they say a few little unga boongas that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, is a gift from Jesus Christ himself. And it comes when somebody sells out to God. It doesn't come so somebody fits into a church. It doesn't come because an evangelist says, and you can lay hands on people who are hungry to sell out to God. And I'm not going to get into all that. I'm going to teach it elsewhere. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what it was. Power of God came on me so strong, I couldn't speak in tongues for at least an hour or so. It was the wildest thing. But my heart had just broken before God, and I wanted to help children whose parents were in prison. I didn't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. I had never really heard any teaching on it. I had seen it in the book of Acts, put my hand on it and asked for it. You want to live this life? Put your hand on the stuff in the book of Acts if you mean it and ask for it. And it will include the testing and the trials and the sanctification and the fire of God that has to come to prepare you to honor God when you walk in His power. Whoa. And if that's the suffering, then that's the suffering. Amen. Then if that's the suffering, then that's the suffering. Amen. Wow. So Lord, I want the real deal. I want the real deal. And I encourage, you know, people here and people listening and people out there. And I've got a powerful teaching we'll go over one day about, a lot of people are sharing it right now, about because there's so many people running after impartation and running away from their issues instead of facing them with God, that the spirit of the sorcerer or witchcraft has gotten in the church. And people, because they're not being sanctified and made holy and dealing with their heart issues, are getting a lot of witchcraft. And there's so much mixture right now in the prophetic and charismatic church that and so many people don't even have discernment anymore. But sometimes it's almost more like going into a cult than it is like walking into a born-again, spirit-filled place. And God is going to bust that up as He gets a people who are serious about being holy. So I encourage people to look at the teaching on the web. Come on Tuesday nights. Sanctification is so absolutely, positively necessary before you can be trusted with the power of God, before you are close enough to God and walking with God and hearing God in such a way that He's going to have you in this adventure. Now, let me say, I'm not saying you have to be real mature in God. You just have to be hungry to be holy. Amen? Hungry to be like Jesus. Hungry. So hungry to be holy. That it's like, God, I want to be holy because You are holy and I hate what You hate. You've got to have that heart before these kinds of visitations and revelations and visions and this kind of thing are going to come in your life as a normal part of your Christian life. Am I saying He won't do some of these things to break through? No, look at Paul and the Damascus Road. But also look how much Paul suffered, and look at how he was blind for a while, and look at how he had to go and basically was separated even from the body of Christ for quite a season to be matured and to be taken care of, and look at the things he went through. Amen? And so this is a real deal with a real God who wants us holy because He's holy. What's holy? Evil out. He wants the evil out so the power is working where there is a pure heart and clean hands. Amen? All right, and then we can walk in all this. That's why we do Tuesday nights and Friday nights. So He sees the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on these non-Jews. For they heard them speaking in languages or tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid the water that these be baptized? Who the Holy Spirit received, even as we also." What's he saying? He goes, how can we not baptize them in water? They just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They just got, Peter's like, I'm sitting here in unbelief that God is using me in a house of Gentiles. This has never happened before. And I'm sharing with them in my total amazement about Jesus. I haven't even got into very many details yet. And the Holy Spirit falls on them and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues and magnifying God. This is so mind-blowing to Peter. This would be mind-blowing to me. This would be mind-blowing to any of us who have a preconceived idea of how we've got to walk somebody through the prayer. And how we have to make sure they understand everything about Jesus and why He had to die and all this kind of stuff. What is the main element in someone truly being saved? Holy Spirit in it. And He is the Spirit of truth. I mean, this is going against everything that Peter ever believed. It's amazing. And he's like, okay, all right, they're speaking in tongues, they're magnifying God. Okay, this is amazing. I barely even talked about Jesus. This is wild. But who can deny? If Holy Spirit is saying they're mine, then get the water. Put these people in water. And let me say, I repent for not having people baptized in water faster, but there needs to be that real sincere hunger for God. These people have that real sincere hunger for God. So much so, look what hunger does, you guys. Hunger, oh, the hunger in this man and his desire to find God was used by God. And everything I know is led by Holy Spirit that happens. You know, that's of God's kingdom. But God used a man who was hungry and began to pour out a hunger there, at the same time deciding, this is going to be cool. Let's sock it to Peter. Let's get Peter to be the first one to lead non-Jewish people to Jesus Christ. Oh, this will be great. You know how Peter thinks he knows all this stuff. Yeah, I just love that Father, Son, Holy Spirit must have this really good time. You know, won't this be cool? Hey, angels, watch this one. You guys watch this one. Okay? And then here is Peter, who is a lot like Paul, who is a lot like me in the sense they like to preach a lot. They want to make sure you're really good at it. And Peter's hardly finished speaking a little tiny Reader Digest version of what this whole Jesus thing is about. Probably getting ready to go into the full force all day thing. He's probably thinking, okay, now we've got to really go this line upon line. These people are not even Jews. They won't even understand most of this. We're going to have to set this up. And next thing you know, the Holy Spirit's like, no, the hunger brought the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just baptized them and filled them, which Peter knows that means God lives in them. They are in a new covenant with God. God now is written his laws in their minds and in their hearts. And now they're just going to have to grow and mature and learn. And here's Peter like, I know we're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody find some water. How many are ready for things to start being spirit first instead of intellect? Amen? That needs to be our heart's desire. I want this to be spirit first. I want Holy Spirit so involved in every time I share, every time I speak, every time I minister, every time I go out, every time. This is the missing thing in the church, in the Western church. We have so much intellect and carnal mindedness that we have kind of replaced the Holy Spirit, and it's not that effective. Amen? And so we start with repentance, saying, Lord, I only want to do what I see you doing. I only want to say what I hear you saying. I want to be open. I want to be prayed up. I want to hang out with you. I want to have your heart. I want to be on these adventures with you. And this is so awesome. And then I want, and this is still hard for me, to know when to back off and say, okay, Holy Spirit, do your thing. Now, I don't have to say that. More like, oh, shut up, Cindy. Let Holy Spirit do his thing. I am so about not telling Holy Spirit what to do. Does anybody see Peter in here telling Holy Spirit what to do? Which is what so many books and teachings and decrees and whatever else we're all doing out there in our own strength. Not that all of it's in our own strength, but a lot of it is. And here, Holy Spirit doesn't need my permission to do something. Amen? It's kind of gross to think he does. I don't command God. That's just ridiculous. Amen? But it's more like this adventure, and you're just doing what God shows you to do in the adventure that he's going to reveal himself. And then get so sensitive. And you know, Edie and I, when we were on this last cruise thing, two times I missed it. In the one time I really did the witnessing, the part I needed to was kind of shock evangelism, but it really changed this guy. But then I tried to go too long, and then it just backed away. Holy Spirit wasn't in it, and I just kind of finished it up real sweet, realized, okay, I don't have to tell everybody everything. And then another time I was talking to somebody, and it wasn't even time to share that, and I'm trying to, but it's going nowhere. Amen? That's what we're going to talk about in a little bit, like how do you know? How do you kick into that? Amen? But and probably those two examples really helped me to know how to help people see it. Because usually I try to be so sensitive, and I find myself exactly in a situation where I just know it's God. And then there's fruit every time. When you're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit is ahead of it, amen, set it up, and then anointing it, it's going to work every time. And what we've tried to do too much, because we're so dependent on our intellects, is we try to set it up and hope Holy Spirit will come. And the Lord's like, spend more time with me. You know, the Lord's like, spend more time with me. Be anointed with me. Deal with your heart issues so what you have is real with me. And don't worry. How many know God must have a million setups for each of us? Amen? There's so much to do, right? A whole world is dying and going to hell, and we're sitting there waiting. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting for us to put him first. Amen. He is waiting for us to hang out with him, to spend time with him, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's waiting for us to die to self. He's waiting for us to die to wanting a successful ministry. He's waiting for us to be about him and his kingdom. Amen. Just about him and his kingdom. And then he's going to put his yes on it. His yes is on it because his yes starts it, his yes in the middle of it, and his yes finishes it. Amen. And he's going to use these things. And yes, even if we're in a place where we're going to overcome the enemy still, we need this teaching because we're hungry for truth. And we don't let the enemy steal from us what God's trying to do. Right, Alex? You're going to overcome. You get excited about the message that God is doing, and you just get hungrier and hungrier for the enemy to just quit trying to steal it. Until the point comes where, you know what? I'm not letting him steal it anymore. I'm just not letting the enemy steal from me anymore. You've got to get to a place where you are just determined, I am not letting the enemy steal from me anymore. I don't even want to give him a day. I don't want to give him a minute, much less a day, much less an hour, much less a conversation, much less a thought. Amen? So, where are we at? Okay. So we finished that part. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to remain some days. So he stayed and he talked. Now let's just do 11 because it's just too good. And the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the nations received the word of God. All right. God just did what we would all call a new move of God. It's a movement. Every generation has whatever their words are. God doesn't call it any of that, amen? God just does it, amen? God just does it. Why does God just do it? Because he's not trying to lift up one group or one name or one person or one church or one ministry over another, amen? But man, we got to get free from that, don't we? Well, we have a movement. Movement's the now word. We have a tribe. We have God. We're one body led by one God, amen? And he's going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And if we want to be a part of that, then we need to be yielded and in love with him and let him get all his glory. Oh, let him. He deserves his glory. Get free from your junk and you won't want his glory. Amen. Thank you, God. Keep getting us free. So the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the nations received the word of God. And when Peter went up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and you ate with him. I love this. Here, God just moved powerfully. This family gets saved. The house was full. They all get saved. God's doing something new. God's doing something powerful. Peter comes back in awe and amazement. Word had even gone ahead even before they had the social media or cell phones. Somehow, some way, the word got spread out. And they're like, what? What? Gentile believers? I don't know. Nations, the whole nations, everybody can be in this? You mean we're not an exclusive group anymore? Wait a minute. Jesus came and now we aren't the exclusive people of God? I don't know about this. I don't know. This doesn't sound biblical to me. And look how strong Peter has to be, because he gets there and those of the which means the Jews, are going, wait a minute, are you telling us, Peter, are you really wanting us to believe that God had you go into uncircumcised people's house and eat? Explain this to us. And I guarantee you they had some scripture from Old Covenant to just throw right in there.
I don't think God would do that, Peter. You know, he only came for the Jews. It's always been the Jews. Abraham's seed, you know. So
So what do we see here? This is really cool. It's not about evangelism as much as when God does something different, when God starts to reveal a greater love than people have seen before, a greater revelation than people walked in before, there is going to come some persecution even from within the church. Amen? And also, when God has you going, yay, woohoo, go God, somebody is probably going to come and want to rain on your parade. Amen. With a religious mindset. I don't know. But beginning, Peter set out to them in order, saying, I was being in the city of Joppa, praying, and in ecstasy I saw a vision, a certain vessel coming down like a huge sheet, being let down by four corners of the heaven, and it came as far as me. Looking intently on this, I observed, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild beasts, and the creeping things, and the birds of the heaven, and I heard a voice saying to me, Peter, rise up, slay, and eat. But I said, not at all, Lord, because never has anything come or unclean into my mouth. I'm like you guys. I've never believed in this either. I would never eat that stuff either. I know where you're coming from. But a voice answered me, you guys, the second time out of heaven, what God has cleansed, do not make common. And this took place three times, you guys, three times. You know how many times Jesus did stuff three times? When he said something three times, we all listened. And this took place three times, and then everything was pulled up into heaven again. And then, and behold, at once, three men stood at the house in which I was, having been sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit said to me, go with them, not discriminating. And these six brothers also were with me. And weren't you guys? You guys all went with me, right? Don't you get this? He is speaking back. Number one, they're not being his judge. He really has a heart that they understand God is in this. Amen? He really felt that some of them were going to listen and believe. Amen? And let's remember, he's Peter. These people know this man walks with God. And they're amazed. And I love the part where there's not that fake, don't talk to leadership garbage. Because then Peter would have to say anything he wants and nobody could even begin to disagree with him. Let's get control out of the church. Amen? Woo-hoo. Amen? Here is Peter, the apostle. You know, on this rock I shall build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not on Peter the person, but on somebody who has a revelation from God, and God chose Peter to give that revelation to. Amen? And then I love the freedom that they can disagree and argue with Peter, and it's okay. Something's wrong if it's not okay. And I can look at some of the preaching and teaching I see on Facebook from apostles who think, how dare you? Well, anybody who would say, how dare you, can't really have the heart of a true apostle. Because Peter's not going, how dare you question me? How dare you question that God would give me this revelation? What's he doing? He's explaining to them like a normal person. No, look, I'm just going to tell you what happened, all right? This is what happened. Right? And he goes, look, and these six were with me, weren't you guys? He's going, hey, I didn't go in that heathen house by myself. These guys went. Because they knew it was God. They knew the anointing. And why was it good that, because they were there when the Holy Spirit fell, right? They were there when the presence of God was all on it. They weren't just blindly following Peter. Because they didn't have covering doctrine, but we'll talk about that another time. They were not following Peter. They were following the Holy Spirit. And he says, and it told me not to discriminate. These six were with me. We all went into the man's house. And he told us how he saw an angel in his house standing and saying to him, send men to Joppa, send for Simon, who is surnamed Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and your household will be saved. God told a man through an angelic visitation that I was going to go there and the household would be saved. God told him. And in my beginning to speak, guys, I was just starting to speak. Y'all have heard me speak. I can speak for hours. You know that. But I barely got a few words out. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. And also in the same way he did with us in the beginning. Guys, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not kidding. Holy Spirit was all over these people. I had just begun to speak. I didn't even try to convince them. I wasn't even able to have enough time. God, if you had given me more time, I could have explained all this. God was all over this, you guys. I'm just telling you, God was all over this. And I recalled the word of the Lord, Acts 11, 2, and how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then if God gave the same gift to them as to us, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and who was I to be able to prevent God? I love this. Who was I to stop what God was doing, you guys? Let me tell you, is this not an awesome conversation between brothers and not the lording it over stuff that we hear so much about leadership in the church today? Preach that one, people. Amen? This is real Bible apostles. Amen? Their heart is, hey, let me just tell you what happened. Not, who am I to tell you what happened? These people really want to know. They're maybe not going about it really kindly, if you listen to what it said. But he's like, look, let me just tell you what happened. And these six, you guys were there. And I'm sure it was like, wasn't the Holy Spirit falling? Wasn't this amazing? And they're probably, yeah, and I saw this happen. This one did this, and this did this. There was a shaking on this one. And it was like the tongues of fire we saw when we were baptized. It was amazing. And he's like, who was I to be able to prevent it? Guys, I'm not going to stop God. Yes, we've never seen this before. We've never, ever thought that God would go to the nations. We never thought he would do that. Who would have thought? Jesus never talked about that. Actually, he probably did, but I don't remember. I don't recall it. He goes, but I'm going to tell you what. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on these people. But that man was hungry for God. And they were giving and praying. God's amazing. And hearing these things, they kept silent, which to me means they quit arguing about it. And they glorified God, saying, then God also has granted to the nations repentance unto life. Wow. Isn't it amazing that we just witnessed literally Holy Spirit adding something new and a revelation to the apostles for the whole church? Do you realize that probably everybody in here, we wouldn't be able to be in here because we wouldn't be in his kingdom had that not happened. How cool is that? Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Jews. Thank God for Peter. Thank God for that man who cried out to know God. And God opening. Look how God opened Peter's eyes and everybody else's eyes. Oh my gosh. We've got to get back to that kind of spirit-led life, that kind of unity, that kind of revelation that we're going to learn more and more about God and grow deeper and deeper in his unconditional love and get more and more understanding and revelation every single day walking with him and walking together. Okay, and we're going to stop right there, but it gets really good because after that, there was such a persecution that they were scattered all over, and now they were out in all these different nations sharing the gospel. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.